back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been having a little text to win contest, and we've got a grand prize winner. Congratulations to Steve and Sun Prairie for our statewide break into spring text to win contest. Thank you for all who participated. If you didn't get a chance to win this time around and you want to be sure to get in on the action, you just need to download the Civic Media app, which is free wherever you get your app stores. You can also listen to me wherever you are, crystal clear with that app. You can select WAUK 540 AM as your home station. That's where I come to you from. But right now, the focus isn't on me, ladies and gentlemen. The focus is on my very fabulous next guest. His name is Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor, creator of The Recombobulation, of which I am a subscriber to on Substack. I follow him on X. He's the man who knows all of the inside baseball in Wisconsin politics, none other than Dan Schaefer. It's so nice to be back together with you, Dan. We had a huge election. You had a little spring break. I had a little spring break. And we're back in the saddle again, my friend. Nice to see you.
Good to see you as well. It's been a discombobulating few weeks. And now it's good to be back to recombobulate with you here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
That one will never get old, Dan. It will never, ever get old. Let's start with the sort of bringing together the election result, everything that's going on in the economy, and the political landscape here in Wisconsin. We still have Ron Johnson sort of stand by your man and like sticking with Donald Trump on the tariffs, like give it time. We see more senators from the GOP peeling off today. Seems to be some dissension in the ranks. But Dan, I was wondering if you could give us your take on what does this tanking economy and this Trump tax on the middle class mean, especially in light of that huge double-digit margin for Judge Susan Crawford on April 1st? What does this mean for Wisconsin politics going forward? Any prognostication that you'd like to make here?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that we're going to be looking at in the immediate future, in the long term, in elections, in policy, in budgets. It's going to have pretty profound ramifications for that. So I think, you know, when you're thinking about the immediate future here, I think, you know, this is a budget year for Wisconsin. What does a tanking economy mean for the state budget? What does what type of decisions need to be made at the state level, at the local level, to, you know, make sure that farmers aren't losing their jobs, or make sure that, you know, people across the state are not facing added challenges as we see things, you know, continue to be especially chaotic at the national level, right? So I think, you know, given that this is a budget year, we, you know, right after the election last week, there were a couple listening sessions across the state for the Joint Finance Committee. And I think, you know, some of the ramifications of those elections are going to be felt by some of the legislators who could be in tougher seats. I think, you know, everybody wants accountability right now from their elected officials. And the fact that Susan Crawford won this election also means that the threats to re-gerrymander the state legislative maps are probably going away as well. Exactly. So I think there, you
know, let me just before we move on to the legislative maps, because I think this has some really interesting permutations and ramifications. But when we think about the state budget, which is where all the action is going to be, right, for the next few months, we're in the biennial budget cycle. If we've got a slowing economy and state tax revenues are going to be down, we've got funding uncertainty from the feds into the state. You know, what are Republicans talking about that in the state? Like, does Voss have an approach? Is there some strategy? Or is it like, well, we're going to have to just wait and see what the chaos brings and then try to plug holes? How is this sussing out? Are there indications about what's the plan for Wisconsin? Does the governor have a plan? If, again, we're seeing potentially tax receipts decline, state tax revenues decline with a declining economy, and these draconian cuts to essential services that and funding, right? A lot of those services get funded pass through. The federal money comes into the state administers the programs.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty because it's not just the tanking, the economy, economic downturn that's happening. I think people are worried about like federal cuts that could trickle down to the state budget.
Right.
A significant percentage of the state budget comes from federal dollars, comes from federal allocations. Can we count on those in the way that we have in previous budgets? It's a complete unknown right now, right? So I think it is, we're going into this budget season through the traditional process. This is a very untraditional moment. This is a very challenging moment, and it's going to be really important to see how legislators respond as things are changing so rapidly.
And I'm looking like dead at education funding, right? Like, holy cow, what is going to happen? We've seen over the last 5 years just the record number of local referenda, to help fund education by counties, by school districts, and all of that. Big question mark over it. Something certainly to watch. I hope people that may be attending those listening sessions for the Joint Finance Committee ask these types of questions. What is the plan? If the feds dismantle the Department of Education, how are we going to make sure that Wisconsin kids get the resources that they need to be as successful as their dreams will take them? Let's turn to the legislative maps, because this is a, first of all, big relief, April 2nd, or at least the evening of April 1st. We're not going to see Republicans try to select their voters again. What does this mean for the state of bipartisanship, of compromise, to get things done in the state of Wisconsin? I think it's, you know, probably a positive harbinger, especially as we see, you know, regular people having some economic uncertainty. How are you reading it, Dan?
Well, we have closer margins in the state legislature than we've had in quite a long time. I think it's 18 to 15 in the state Senate and 54 to 45 in the state assembly. So that means there are actually a few swing votes in the state. We haven't had that in quite some time as Republicans drew themselves a path to a supermajority. So, you know, some of those senators that have not run on the new maps just yet, you know, if you are somebody who is really active in, you know, contacting your legislators, watching the swing votes at a national level, there are going to be some swing votes at the state level too. So I think, you know, a couple of them, State Senator Howard Markline, who's co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, he's in a district that was won by Kamala Harris last year, and he's going to be on the ballot next year. So will he moderate some of his positions, or will he continue to cater to the right-wing fringe, as we've seen Republican legislators under Robin Voss do for quite some time? So, you know, he's one example. Rob Hutton in Wisconsin's 5th District, in kind of the Wauwatosa western suburbs of Milwaukee area. That's going to be another area to watch. Van Wangard, who is the state senator from Racine County area. Racine County was won by Susan Crawford. That's a county that has not been won by a Democratic aligned candidate since Tammy Baldwin in 2018. Dan Kelly won there twice.
Twice.
And then Susan Crawford just won there last week. So that's, you know, that's a real battleground in the state too. So that's going to be really interesting. And, you know, look at up and down the ballot. There's going to be many more in the assembly. I think these are the people that we want to pay attention to over the next few months here as the budget cycle goes on, as to where they're going to stand, if we're going to see more bipartisanship, collaboration in the state legislature in ways that we haven't in quite some time.
Dare I say, maybe even a criticism of Donald Trump, which has been, non-existent from the GOP in the state for many, many moons. This is, you know, Dan, you and I have talked about gerrymandering so many times, and I hate it as concept. I've hated it, especially in the state of Wisconsin and in our U.S. House of Representatives, because when legislators pick their voters to the degree that Republicans have in this state and others, perhaps Wisconsin being the worst of the worst, it removes any incentive for an elected legislator to try to compromise or to speak to what I'm going to call like the fat of the bell curve, the vast majority of their voters, to actually dial back rhetoric, right? Why would I dial back if I've got a ruby red district and I've got no reasonable challenger that I could see? So I'm quite hopeful that with Crawford being seated on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, with the removal of the opportunity or the elimination of the opportunity to go back to really grotesquely unfair maps in this state, that what we are going to get is a state legislature that will be, especially after this next election cycle, the most responsive it's been in probably 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
That is why I constantly make the case that gerrymandering's not good for you, even if you think your team is winning, because your legislator doesn't have to listen to you, even if you're on the same team, because there's no incentive to do so.
It makes legislators more worried about a primary challenge than a general election result, which means they go further and further away from a place where they could compromise and actually get things done for the people of Wisconsin.
And employ and deploy all the more extreme rhetoric, which makes it, from an ego perspective and just human behavior, harder and harder to compromise or just ratchet back off that ledge. Let's talk about one of those extreme partisans that is sitting on the court. Her name's Rebecca Bradley. People have been floating her potentially for a Trump appointment to the Seventh Circuit. I find her to be almost as objectionable as Michael Gableman. And I will ask you that question in a minute, except smart. She's like smart Michael Gableman, right? Like she actually knows the law and how to craft judicial opinions. But her rhetoric can, by any measure, no matter what your party might be fairly labeled as incredibly divisive and probably the most extreme of any of the justices, including newly elected Justice Crawford on the bench. What are we hearing about Justice Bradley's plans?
Well, Justice Bradley is the next member of the court who will be up for election. You know, these are 10-year terms. She was first elected in 2016. So the next election, we have a break from a fall election here in Wisconsin this year.
We do. Small respite,
but we'll have a spring election. We will have an election for Wisconsin Supreme Court will be on the ballot in every spring election for the next 5 years now. So after Crawford wins, that basically solidifies a liberal majority until at least 2028. And it could be even further if Rebecca Bradley wins. Now, Bradley, like you mentioned, has been probably the most far-right member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You know, we could do a whole hour on all of the craziness that she has said over the years. You know, she compared, you know, some of the COVID-19 public health measures to Japanese internment camps.
She's a wingnut.
She's really out there.
And she's such a wingnut.
A lot of things.
This is the broad, and I use that term with not as derisively, I call myself a broad, but this is the broad that edited her own Wikipedia page and got busted doing it. I mean, sorry to interrupt, Dan, but that's a factoid about her I just can't help but to mention.
Yeah, so she Wispolitics reported last week that she is looking to run for another 10-year term next year. So the last few of these races have been for open seats as a 10-year term. This one, Bradley saying she's looking to run for re-election. I think that has many on the left licking their chops to see if they can expand this to a 5-2 majority, and then in the following year push it maybe even further so that Brian Hagedorn, the swing member of the court,
is the only
conservative left. Yeah.
Very short story about Maggie and Rebecca Bradley. My last speech before Milwaukee County after I had resigned was one talking about what allyship means when you are an equity warrior. And she was in the front row. And I began my remarks by talking about the fact that I was standing before the county board with fewer rights than I had when I was born and looked right at her and just kept railing away. Got the justice squirming. That was good fun. My friend got a great picture of it on the WSI TV that it was, listen, anytime I can give a little ding to Rebecca Bradley, I'll do it. My big thanks to you, Dan Schaefer, political editor here. Stay tuned, folks. We got Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee up next for Milwaukee as microcosm of the state. Keep it locked.